Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. Freedom. Liberty. Americans prize nothing more highly than freedom. Freedom is perhaps our nation's greatest value. The preamble to our Constitution reads, "We the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote general welfare, and secure the blessing of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, do ordain and establish this Constitution for the United States of America." Liberty. Marvelous liberty. Everybody wants to come to America, the land of the free and the home of the brave, because there's freedom. There's liberty. We have a Statue of Liberty in New York. We have the Liberty Bell in Philadelphia. We have the famous quotation attributed to Patrick Henry from a speech he gave way back in 1775 in Richmond, Virginia. "Give me liberty or give me..." The state motto in New Hampshire is "Live free or die." The Pledge of Allegiance to the flag contains the phrase "with liberty and justice for all." So when we come to a passage like we have in Galatians 5:1, "For freedom Christ has set us free, stand firm therefore and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery," it's easy for us to say amen. Freedom in Christ. We must fight for our rights. We must take a stand against anti-Christian forces. We can't submit to the yoke of slavery that governments or other institutions impose on us. But Paul's not talking about this kind of freedom. He's talking about freedom in Christ. In our politicized culture, when we talk about freedom, obviously we go to freedom from government oppression, free from taxation, free to have guns, free to express ourselves, freedom of religion, freedom. But Paul is talking about freedom in Christ. Paul is warning the churches in southern Turkey not to surrender their freedom in Christ that they already have as a result of trusting in Christ alone for salvation. He's warning them, don't embrace a false gospel that this group called the Judaizers is imposing on them. It's a false gospel. It's not a gospel that sets you free. It's a gospel, a false gospel, that takes you back into slavery. Well, what's he talking about? Slavery. Well, slavery to the law of Moses. You have to do this, this, and this. Circumcision, other laws. You have to do that. Now, here's what Paul's talking about when he talks about freedom in Christ. Freedom from the wrath of God. Freedom from the wrath of God. You have freedom in Christ. And this freedom in Christ allows you to enjoy a relationship with God and not be enslaved to this fear that one of these days God's going to get me. If I don't live right, if I don't do this, if I don't do that, well, God is going to punish me. And he is going to bring me down. If he doesn't do it in this life, he's going to do it on Judgment Day. And people are enslaved to that. Paul also refers to freedom in Christ, who sets us free from the fear of death, who sets us free from the power of sin, who sets us free from the influence of Satan. He sets us free from those things. And the warning is, Why are you going to go back to a false gospel that is going to cause you to fear death because you're wondering if you're doing enough? A gospel that does not free you from sin, so you're living with guilt. Because you're always wondering, what's my status with God? Is He blessing me or cursing me? Is He for me or against me? There's that bondage. And of course, freedom from the influence or the power of Satan. Temptation. Evil. Sometimes we're locked in systems, in cultures and so forth. We don't even know if what's right or what's wrong. What's the truth? This is what it is this year, but next year a different ideology may come up. So what's the truth? What am I supposed to believe? And Satan loves to interject doubt. That's what he did in the Garden of Eden. Did God say? So there's a lot of people wandering through this life enslaved by doubt and fear and guilt, wondering, does God really love them? Or is He going to sentence them to hell? Paul's position is, with the doctrine of justification by faith alone, we are saved not because of what we have done, but because of what Jesus has done. He sets us free because everything that needs to be done to appease the wrath of God has already been done by Jesus Christ. And when we believe that, all the punishment that we deserve for our sins has been already fulfilled by Christ on the cross. So we do not need to fear the wrath of God that, gee, when I die, I hope I'm going to be good enough to get into heaven, that God doesn't send me to hell. Well, as believers in Jesus Christ, Jesus already went to hell for us. That's what the cross is about. Jesus paid off the debt. We don't need to be afraid of that. But see, what Paul is dealing with here is not, as Charlie pointed out, Kodiak Mission. When the government intervened there, either you're going to do things our way or you're going to lose the finances. Paul's not talking about some government or some force pressing in on the churches in Galatia saying, you can't believe in Christ anymore. You can't follow Him anymore, or you're going to suffer. That persecution came a little bit later. What Paul's dealing with is people that have forfeited their freedom in Christ by going after another religion. A religion of works. A religion that says, God did His part, you have to do your part, and when you do your part, then you're saved. But if you don't do your part, you're not saved. You will fear the wrath of God your whole life. And Paul's saying, wait a minute. People, you know the truth. Why are you forfeiting the freedom that came with the truth? Why are you going after this false gospel? For freedom, Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. You know, it's easy for Christians to deal with liberty and freedom and focus it on our nation, on our society, and to talk about freedom in one way and also to talk about the threats to our freedom in another way. It's easy to skip over the freedom that Christ has given to us and turn everything to the political realm. Christians are losing their liberty. The government is against them. The secular humanists are against them. There's an anti-Christian judicial system that prevents people from running their businesses according to their own Christian principles. But do we talk about how we have given up our freedom? It's easy for Christians to harp on how Bible reading and prayer were taken out of the public schools, how the public schools have removed God from education, how the secular society has warred against Christianity in the public arena. But it's hard to own up to the fact that many Christians have taken Bible reading out of their home. The government didn't do that. They took prayer out of their home. Government didn't do that. Do we pray together as a family? Do we have devotions where we sit down and we talk about the scriptures? Or is that pushed aside because there's so many other things on our plate? We're forfeiting a clear conscience. We're forfeiting the joy that pastor was praying about. Nobody has taken that from us. But when we start following other gospels to find joy, to find purpose, to find meaning, to find peace, and we push Christ over in the side, we're doing it to ourselves. There are many, many churches where Bible reading has been taken out of, where prayer is no longer, and some of these are big churches. I was talking to somebody not too long ago, and they said, you know, we went to a worship service, and they did not pray at all through an hour and a half worship service. Now, you can't blame that on anybody else, but what's going on among Christians? What's going on among pastors? And this is what Paul is so riled up about. That's why he takes issue here. And you look in verse 2, he says, look, I, Paul, say to you that if you accept circumcision, Christ will be of no advantage to you. What? See, it's not so much just the religious rite of circumcision. It's the whole system that goes with that of keeping the law. If you accept circumcision, if you go back to Judaism, if you think you need to become a Jew in order to become a Christian, Christ will be of no advantage to you. I testify again to every man who accepts circumcision that he is obligated to keep the whole law. You are severed from Christ, you who would be justified by the law. You have fallen away from grace. These are serious words, aren't they? It's not like, well, what's the big deal? So if I get circumcised and I have to do that, that, and the other, that's okay. God understands. I'm saved by grace. We're trying to see, the problem here in Galatia was not that the people didn't believe in Christ. They did. They did not believe in Christ alone for their salvation. They believed in Christ plus grace plus faith plus. God did his part. I have to do my part. And you have the Judaizers saying, yeah, that's right. Don't listen to Paul, because he's saying this, you're justified by faith alone. You know, for centuries, we Jews, we always believed. But we had the law. We had to do these things. And it's circumcision and it's the law that justifies us. And Paul's saying, no, it doesn't. Either Christ alone justifies you or the law justifies you. And you can't mix them. And if you think that you can be justified by keeping the law, ask yourself, have I kept the whole law? Oh, of course not. I'm not perfect. Well, then are you justified by it? No, you're condemned by it. The law will never save you. It's not intended to do that. The law drives you to your knees, admitting that I can't be good enough to please God. I need a Savior. Jesus Christ is that Savior. I will believe in Him because He's the one who lived the sinless life. He was perfectly righteous. He did what I couldn't do. He's the one that went to the cross and suffered the punishment that I deserve. I don't need to be working my way into balancing the good works with the bad works with Christ, with God. Christ has already taken care of that. I don't need to fear death because Christ has conquered death. I don't need to fear judgment because Christ has been judged for me. I don't need to try to find a life someplace out there because Christ is my life. I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father but through me. So you can't mix justification by faith and justification by the law. It doesn't match. Either you're going to believe that Christ has done it all, or you're not. And that's the danger of a works-based righteousness. Say, well, I did my part. Well, what is your part? Whatever part you have is it doesn't satisfy God's justice. And you got to understand that when you start drifting away from the gospel of grace and start embracing this false gospel of works, you are going to lose the benefits that Christ has purchased for you. Paul identifies these yokes of slavery. He's not talking about civil liberty or carnal liberty. He's talking about freedom from the fear of God. Do you have that freedom? Do you have a peace with God that assures you that God loves you? Or do you have this belief that, man, if I don't do this right, God's really going to nail me for it? Or you know how the accuser, Satan, is always flashing back in your mind the past sins. Anybody ever have that problem? Well, you probably have friends that do. Where out of nowhere, this thought will come in of how you did something wrong when you were in high school. You say, oh man, I can't believe. Where did that thought come from? Well, Satan's always accusing you. He's always making you think that, you know, you're going to hell. You can't measure up. You're worthless. You can't do anything right. It affects the way people see themselves. I'm not worth anything. I can't do anything right. I can't serve the Lord because I don't know enough. Or all these things that come up in our minds that make us slaves. Well, I got to get more done. You know, it's interesting. I've been watching over the years and it's getting to the point right now where something better happen or people are going to be cracking up all over the place. And what I'm getting at is, did you ever see how people keep on adding more and more and more to their schedules? Why do they do that? I mean, there's this frenetic pace in life now that people be wandering around so weary. Man, I got so much on my plate. There's so much to do. I can't be doing all this stuff down at church. Why not? Well, we have ballet, we have soccer, we have this, we have dancing, we have all of this other stuff, and we got to get to that. What is burdening you? Why is there so much activity that squeezes out God? And then it's like, I just can't do anymore. Hey, let's have a bake sale, raise money. Or let's do this for the kids. Or let's do that. All right, we have a midweek service to pray on Wednesday night. Well, let's have a special Thursday day of prayer for the National Day of Prayer. Well, why don't we come on Wednesday night to pray? Oh, no, no, no. We need a special prayer time. Why? It's insane. Keep adding and adding and adding. Keep doing the same thing over and over and over again, expecting what? A different outcome. That's the definition of insanity. I'm going to keep on adding more and more to my life. Why? What is missing in your life that is driving you crazy trying to get? Why is it that so many people never experience the joy that Pastor was praying about? What has stolen away the joy? I contend it's a false gospel. If you want joy, get away from it all on Sundays and go down the shore. That's where you'll find your joy. Better yet, go up to Atlantic City. You'll really experience joy up there. I got to get away from this, God, and find joy someplace else. We got an opioid epidemic right now. Why? Why can't it be stopped? Why are so many people involved in this? It's either next week or the week after, I'm going to be preaching a sermon called Christian Liberty. Is it okay for Christians to smoke pot? We can't be legalistic about that. Right? Why do we want to legalize pot? Everybody's sitting around here stoned. That's really good, Pastor. Can somebody bring some donuts in? I'm really getting hungry. Why do we do that? What are we looking for? What yoke of slavery has so many Christians gone back to? Leaving the freedom, the marvelous freedom that Christ gives. Why is that? Well, if we follow the scriptures, it's because the teaching that people invade the church with, false teaching, draws them away from believing in Christ, believing in themselves. Quite honestly, the false teachers shift the emphasis from a God-centered worship service to a man-centered worship service, from a Christ-centered gospel to a man-centered gospel. That's the result of false teaching. And when we talk about the truth, what Paul is talking about, it's not just Jesus is the answer, but digging down deep inside. Why would I want to smoke dope instead of worshiping Christ? Well, somebody says that you can worship Christ better if you're high. There are people that believe that and teach that. So you get a ninth grader. You say, you really want a good worship service? Try this pill. Try some oxy. You will feel so mellowed out. I know. I've been on OxyContin. It's a painkiller for when I had surgery on my knees. I got addicted to it and didn't even know it. You felt good all the time. And there was the thought of, well, if I have to go to physical therapy, and I know that's going to be hard, let me take the edge off it right up front. And everybody's saying, wow, you're doing so great in physical therapy. Do you have any pain? No. None at all. Until I went down the shore and I started to realize, what is this stuff doing to me? You know? I was seeking relief and comfort from something that was artificial, Now, I'm not against pain relievers. Don't get me wrong. But I am against being addicted by them when you're trusting in them to provide for you a joy or a peace or a satisfaction or a well-being that's apart from Christ. You get addicted to that stuff, you're in trouble. You see things altogether different. You can't react to things. You cannot relate to things. There's anxiety. There's depression. There's all of that. And yet we see we have an epidemic. People are looking for things from false gospels and not looking to Christ. Now, yes, in Paul's context here, they're dealing with going back to the law. All right, what I'm talking about is going back to the old life. Going back to the world. That which we struggled with, were saddened by, were in bondage to, could find nothing good in, got to the end of our rope, and God graciously saved us. And there was great joy. There was great excitement for the Lord. There was a peace that passes all understanding. There was a love for everybody. There was a love for God that if the church doors were open, you were there. You couldn't wait to pray. You couldn't wait to tell people about Jesus Christ. And all of a sudden, not all of a sudden, but over time, that all of that left. What happened? Well, over time, you start to look at the realities of life and you start trusting in, well, if I'm going to be successful in life, I have to work 3 jobs. Really? Yeah, so I'll blow off Sundays so I can pick up another job. You find no rest. You find no refreshment. You're always looking for a substitute. Something's going to pick you up. And you see in so many churches today, the appeal is to the physical, emotional senses rather than the Spirit of God. Worship has become entertainment. I was talking to a guy yesterday. He says, I was to a big church down in Florida. And he says, on this platform, there's this 20-foot couch. And that was the sermon. How you find rest. And he says, they threw in a couple of verses of scripture, but there was nothing there. But everybody felt good, and that was really creative, and they had the fog machines going off the side that gave an effect. I mean, I'm not making this up. He was telling me this. He said, I'm looking for something more, because this stuff doesn't do it for me in my life. When I have a setback, I'm not going to remember the sofa sermon. I want to know about salvation that comes through Christ. And if nobody's telling me that, I'm really in trouble. And there's a lot of people sitting in churches that are in trouble because they have replaced the gospel of grace with something else. This is what Paul's warning them about. You are severed from Christ. You who would be justified by the law, you have fallen away from grace. You don't have the same assurance that God is with you. You don't have the same confidence in dealing with Satan. You don't have the same victory in facing your sin. That grace has been withdrawn. For through the Spirit, by faith, we ourselves eagerly await for the hope of righteousness. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision or uncircumcision counts for nothing, but only faith working through love. Faith. Faith alone in Christ alone. Freedom. Are we surrendering our freedom and choosing to come under a yoke of slavery Because we're trusting in other things rather than Jesus Christ. How are you sleeping? How are you eating? Are thoughts racing through your minds that keep you up, that keep you anxious, edgy? You're going to come back to the Lord. Because His grace is sufficient for every need. And that, I think, is what the problem is. We lack the faith to keep trusting in Him. We'll trust in something else. Usually something that we do will bring me what I'm hoping for. But it's fleeting. It's fleeting. Christ gives us a peace, not as the world gives, do I give, He says. So you understand the warning? Paul is saying that when you forfeit your freedom in Christ, you're going to come under the slavery of something else, whether it's a man-made religion. If you do this, this, and this, then you're going to be right with God. Or you're going to just tune out religiously. Well, I'm spiritual, but I don't believe in the church. I don't believe in the Bible, but it's just me and God. And I think this is the way that I will find fulfillment in God. If I go over to Himalayan mountain and find a guru sitting on the mountaintop, he's going to tell me how to find true meaning in life. Well, let me try that. Mm-mm. For freedom in Christ has set us free. Do you want to be free? If you're struggling with being bound up by all kind of thoughts and feelings, and you feel like you're in prison and you can't get out, you feel as though everything's closing in on you and there's nobody there to help you out, and all your friends, sometimes people trust more in their friends than in Jesus Christ, and they rely on their friends to help them rather than take it to the Lord. You know? Are you struggling with all this? Bring it back to the Lord. This is what Paul's talking about. Don't leave Christ thinking you can find freedom someplace else. It doesn't work. Do not trade freedom for anything else the world has to offer. Nobody can promise you any better life than Jesus Christ can. And He fulfills His promise. So ask yourself, are you as committed to following and trusting Christ as you were the day you got saved? Excuse me. Are there other things in your life that has taken the place of God's grace? Okay, I know I'm saved, that's great, but here's what I got to do to really have a fulfilling life. Ask yourself these. Has your love for God grown lukewarm? These are the things that we want to confess up to Christ and to look back and say, you know, the marvelous, wonderful liberty that You gave to me, I need to recapture that, Lord. Let me go back to the cross. Let me go back to You. Give me the grace to repent from all these other false gospels and false gods. Bring me back to You and cause me to trust in You and You alone. And He'll do that. Freedom in Christ. Don't forfeit it. Hang on to it.